The Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
Just 2 weeks ago, Singapore was recognized as a Smart City of 2018 at the Smart City Expo World Congress held in Barcelona. Singapore's Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong launched our Smart Nation initiative back in 2014, and the country's been on a journey to adopt digital and smart technologies for all Singaporeans across all aspects of life, for whether you're an individual citizen, even for businesses and government services as well. But what defines smartness, and what really makes Singapore stand out compared to other smart cities? Today, we're very happy to welcome a special guest. Dr. Janil Puthucheary is Senior Minister of State for the Ministry of Transport and the Ministry of Communications and Information. Dr. Janil joined politics in 2011 after he won a seat as a member of the Pasir Ris Punggol GRC. That was during the May 2011 general election. He's a pediatrician by training and took office in January 2016, first assuming the position of Minister of State at the Ministry of Communications and Information, as well as the Ministry of Education. Dr. Janil, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
First up, let's unpack that term that we hear so often, smart nation. How smart are we really as a nation? And what really defines, what's at the heart of this smartness?
Well, the interesting thing is how people see us and how we see ourselves is not quite the same thing. If you look around the world, people refer to us as a smart city and as a smart nation. And winning that award was part of the testament to how people see us. They think we're this hyper-wired, hyper-connected, global city at the cutting edge of technology, and they congratulate us for it. They come and visit us. But when we look at how we see ourselves and what we're trying to do with Smart Nation, the realities that got us here 53 years after independence. You know, the story is well known: no resources, no hinterland, no natural advantages, and yet we've created this nation of success. And we did so because we continually reinvented ourselves. And over the last 50 years, we've had a number of times when we've significantly changed what it means to be Singapore. And what are the things that we do here, industries and the things that we're striving for. And that's at the heart of this Smart Nation drive. So what we're doing now, what's now about 4 years old since 2014, is just the latest wave of reinvention that Singapore is undertaking. This time it's through technology and digital transformation.
Okay. Well, Dr. Janil, what are the tangible ways the average Singaporean will benefit or ride this Smart Nation initiative?
Well, some of it's very tangible today already. If you look at, for example, 4G connectivity, the sort of things that you can get through your fiber optic cable, the services that you deliver in your homes, the number of businesses that have access to these sort of cutting-edge products. But it's got to be more than that. And we're looking at Smart Nation on three fronts. The first is what we call digital economy. It's really looking at creating jobs and opportunities, transforming industries to take advantage of the best types of digital tools and technology. And really, I say that again, it's about creating opportunities and it's about creating jobs for Singaporeans. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of what we're trying to do with Smart Nation. Anchor those opportunities here in Singapore.
So I just want to pick up on what you said about the latest wave of transformation. Yeah. How do we ensure that different segments of the population are not left out? For example, the aged.
Yes, I'm coming to that because that's the one of the other thrusts where there's three major thrusts. So what I've just talked about is digital economy, creating those opportunities. But you're absolutely right that as we do so, we've got to make sure we look at everybody. And one of the things about us in Singapore is we are a city and a state. When you look at what other nations are doing in terms of the smart transformation, they say, well, we'll focus on our capital and we'll do the rest of the country later. Or we'll focus on the CBD and we'll worry about the rest. We can't do that. We're all in this together. We're one city, one state. And so we have to make sure that everybody benefits. It's got to be inclusion by design, 100% inclusion by design. So what are we doing to ensure that everybody gets involved? Well, there's a whole variety of things. And I think people are most worried about the elderly as a sort of a natural concern. Mm-hmm. I would start by saying we shouldn't actually assume that the elderly can't do this. You look at other societies that are doing this type of thing, Korea and Japan and China, and the elderly are very much involved. And I think our elderly are quite capable and more than interested enough in order to do so. So first thing is, we've got to make sure there's stuff that they're interested in. What are they interested in? And if you ask someone who's 20 years old what their 80-year-old grandma's interested in, they might say things like, oh, checking their health prescriptions and managing their appointments. If you ask the 80-year-old grandma, Ama does not want to do this. She would much rather look at her Korean dramas, mm-hmm. Check the 4D, what the news is today. So we've got to make sure that the things that our seniors are interested in are accessible to them digitally. That's the starting position.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we've got to come right at the other end. We've got to accept that there's going to be some people who have some difficulty doing this. And one of the programs we're rolling out is called Tech Connect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's looking at how we can leverage on our community centers. And we're starting with 8 as a pilot project, but we hope to roll this out across all our community centers, where they can be a place that senior citizens and anyone else who's having difficulty getting involved in this digital transformation can go and look for help.
Mm.
Both the staff as well as the volunteers can help people take advantage of this. So these are two ends of the spectrum, right? I mean, at one end, I talked about people who really can do this themselves, even if they're 80 or 90. I mean, my dad's on WhatsApp, 84 years old. And right at the other end, people who find a lot of difficulty, we have to help them one by one. And in between, there's lots of opportunities for programs and ideas.
Right. Okay, Singapore lost the top spot and dropped to a second place in the digital competitiveness ranking of 63 economies by Swiss Business School 1MD this year, IMD. While Singapore topped the knowledge and technology category, it only came in 15th for future readiness. And despite its digital-friendly environment and high levels of training, obviously, and education, the society's attitude towards the adoption of technologies is ranked 20th. And the agility of businesses here to transform digitally is ranked 18th, scored relatively low. So why do you think businesses, particularly SMEs, remain conservative when it comes to digital transformation?
Well, we shouldn't underestimate the difficulties that the small and medium enterprises face in this very competitive environment that we have. Yeah? And it is very competitive. We compete not just with the domestic market, but with regional and international markets. And for SMEs particularly, they don't have that deep bench of manpower or strong financial reserves where they can afford to take the same risks as the big multinationals. I mean, that is just the nature of the beast. And so it's understandable that they're a little bit more conservative about the kind of risks associated with transforming their business model, transforming their operating model, transforming their day-to-day operations. So we have to help them, because if we believe that there's an advantage for them in doing this digital transformation, but they don't have the risk appetite in order to do so, we have to help manage the tension between those two things. So we've got a program, it's called SMEs Go Digital. IMDA manages this, and really it's looking at how we can bring together some solutions, curated solutions, local products that support the ICT sector, ICT solutions, and match SMEs to the solutions that are most appropriate. The program's been running for about a year, and so far we've helped about 1,000 different businesses. And we have to do more, and we have to scale this up. Now, but that's not all. There's more. That's the business ecosystem. But the other big point of friction for SMEs is the government. Interfacing with government, interfacing with the state-delivered services. So this is a very different approach that we have to take. The third big thrust of our Smart Nation initiative is digital government. I talked about digital economy. You asked me about digital society, the elderly. And the big thing that we're doing in between is digital government. Now, when it comes to businesses, I mean, there's a lot of things that we're doing on the digital government. It's not just about businesses. But when it comes to businesses, two major projects under digital government that give you a sense of how we're trying to do this. One is the business grants portal. There's lots of different agencies and ministries and stat boards which support businesses in different ways. But it's a real pain for the small and medium enterprise owner to navigate and apply here and give your documents. And what we want to do is bring all of that together. So take a business-centric approach. Say you as a business in F&B, for example, what are all the different grants we can bring to you and make it easy for them to access? So streamlining the work of government to help businesses. The second thing is that you take starting a new business or starting a new business, or a new enterprise under a business, you have to apply for licenses. And again, those licenses are spread across a whole bunch of agencies and ministries. And we've got the License One portal where we're bringing together all of those license application processes. So these are two examples of how we're doing digital government in order to help businesses thrive in the new environment.
He's Dr. Janil Puthucheary, Senior Minister of State for the Ministry of Transport and the Ministry of Communications and Information. We will be discussing transport issues in just a while. But Dr. Janil, I want to pick up on that point of businesses and technology in terms of our push towards becoming a fintech hub. What is high on the government's list of priorities when it comes to attaining that goal, a fintech hub?
Well, fintech, it's not a goal in and itself. It's a key enabler of so much else that we want to do. We've got to get things right in terms of payments. We've got to get things right in terms of security and transactions and bringing everybody on board. If you look at what Singapore offers the world today, mm-hmm. and what being in Singapore offers to businesses that are here, that engagement with financial services is a very key part of our competitive advantage. Now, what does being a competitive player in financial services mean in 2018? It means that you have to get going with fintech. And so we've done a number of things. We've got the backbone of interbank payments with Fast. That's been around since 2014. We've got PayNow since July 2017. And we've got PayNow Corporate in August this year. Basically, trying to look and see how we can enable businesses to use e-payments and digital forms of transactions between different financial entities to try to reduce the cost of business, increase the security and privacy around financial transactions, and enable new businesses to kind of be created. At the same time, we've got things like our SGQR code, standardizing how it interfaces with the real world. Nets has been appointed as a master acquirer for hawkers and coffee shops. As you can see, there's 1,001 little pieces that we've got out there. These are really operational, tactical moves. But what's the big picture view? It's how do you take those advantages around payments and financial services and cash transaction processes and translate them into the same idea digitally? Singapore needs to be a place where it's easy to do good business digitally. Mm-hmm. And getting fintech right is a core part of that.
Okay. Well, so generally, even as technology use in banking and businesses increase in pervasiveness, how is the government managing risks in individual privacy and consumer interest?
Well, the first thing is to say that this is actually a very, very important problem. This is not something we can do later, something that we can do after the fact. If you look at what we've done since 2014, actually, we began with issues of privacy and security. We started the Cybersecurity Agency 3 years ago. We started the Personal Data Protection Commission 3 years ago. We passed the Personal Data Protection Act 3 years ago, and we're reviewing it this year. Cybersecurity Act comes in this year. We've passed the Public Service Governance Act to make it a criminal offense to de-identify, re-identify anonymized data. So we took it very, very seriously. We put the laws in place. We got the uniformed service personnel in place, and we gave them the tools to get things done. And we did all that in the last 4 years prior to making all the different pushes that we're doing now with our strategic national projects. So we took privacy and security, we put it right up front and said, what is it that we need to do? Three, 4 years later, we've got to review quite a lot of those things, and that's exactly what we're doing. The next phase is to take that approach, and if you look at the payment services bill that was just placed before Parliament, we're going to debate it next year, I think it's January or February, first quarter next year, that takes that same lens of security, privacy, and doing so in order to enable business and applies it to the financial world. So we're doing this upfront, privacy and security upfront, reassure the public, reassure businesses that this is going to be a safe space in order to get things done.
Dr. Janil, the Smart Initiative, Smart Nation Initiative was launched in 2014. If you could give it a scorecard, you mentioned it's a wave of transformation. How far have we come since?
Well, yeah, I'm not going to give you a grade. I mean, we're moving away from grades. You know, I came from MOE and we're trying to de-emphasize grades. Okay?
You can give us stars.
It's a rainbow sticker. You know, we've done a lot. Seriously, in the last 4 years, we've done a lot. We've made huge progress. But the thing is that everything that we do, every project that is successful, actually opens up new avenues, new possibilities, new risks, as well as new opportunities. This is going to be a constant way of doing business. This is a constant way of thinking. So this is not something that we launched in 2014 and we're saying we're landing in 20 whatever. Mm-hmm. We launched in 2014 and we're just going to keep going. And if I get back to where we started, this is really just the latest set of tools and thinking around how Singapore needs to reinvent ourselves. So we're never going to be done.
You know, you mentioned this is inclusion by design, this latest wave of transformation. How important and what are the avenues so that this is not just a top-down initiative, but the needs of businesses and individuals are heard as well?
Well, we've had the digital readiness blueprint. I mean, so some places call it digital society, some places call it digital readiness. We launched in the middle of the year a digital readiness blueprint. And so that sets out our priorities, our plans, and our targets. But we didn't stop there. That's just a piece of paper. We've got to make it happen. And what we're doing is we've got a digital readiness steering committee that's been brought together, and that committee council, but basically to bring businesses together with private individuals representing the community as well as government and really say, look, in order to do this inclusion by design, actually there's a cost involved. Actually, the person who does it most and does it best has a slight disadvantage against the business competitor who says, I don't care about business inclusion, I'm going for maximum profits. But if the entire community sees that ultimately, if we get inclusion by design right, we really do bring everybody in, you're enlarging the market, you're enlarging the opportunities, and if everybody can do that in lockstep together, net-net, everybody's better off. And that's what we're trying to do. Manage the sense of fear and cost and make sure everybody sees the benefit and come up with concrete examples of how we can take this forward. I gave you that example of the Tech Connect. Mm-hmm. That's what government's mm-hmm. doing. Mm. There's a whole bunch of programs that the community is doing to train people. And businesses are now getting together and thinking how they can, for example, pledge towards digital inclusion. What are the steps they can take to, in order to then drive inclusion by design. And I can expect, and I think I fully understand that it's going to take longer for businesses to come forward with this. It's very easy. It's much easier for government and community to do, and it's much harder for businesses to do. But they've started. I think it's very commendable that they've started, and we've got to help them do this.
Well, we've been talking all the while about Smart Nation here in Singapore and how we are, how is the progress so far for Singapore as a Smart Nation. It is the Senior Minister of State for Ministry of Transport and the Ministry of Communications and Information, Dr. Janu Puthucheary.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at MoneyFM893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.